is the leader of the Nazi Nation.
You know Prince Havoc? You know Jack Peterson?
I don't know who these people are.
It's your boy, Ryan Van Vliet. Vlietie's
Fred Jonathan Bond.
The hipster heartthrob, Casanova Valentine.
You're listening to Fight Guys.
Fight Guys.
Fight Guys.
Wrestle Guys.
Take it again?
Fight Guys, the alternative wrestling podcast.
The pro wrestling alternative podcast.
The alternative podcast.
Alright, we can work with that.
Are you ready?
We are changing the wrestling world.
Hall of Famer, yeah.
This is as real as it gets. This is the realest podcast today.
Something came up, Daddy-O.
I think I'm cute. I think I'm sexy. I've got the looks that drives the girls wild.
This is Stone Cold Steve Austin, right?
Yeah.
When he's driving and you cut him off at an intersection.
Yeah.
Okay. What? Break it down.
I'm scared because I was actually talking about the voices that I hear in my head, and I now realize we were talking about Randy Orton.
He not only sucks, but he blows.
Number one match of all time. Happened at AEW Revolutions.
Get that? That was my sigh. I was sighing.
I think all these wrestlers should die. They should get executed.
The point is not the fact that Rey Mysterio dies at the end, because, oh, go cry about it. Rey Mysterio's dead. Whatever.
Is Pantera a screamo band?
Oh my god. You're calling me.
This is how I know that your guys' business relationship and partnership is not going to last. Either Jack's going to flip out and get mad at Phil.
Oh, you are a pretentious fucking asshole.
Or Phil's going to be like, Jack, man, you're always harassing me, man.
You sound like an internet idiot, and I'm ashamed to be on a podcast with you.
Oh my god, oh my god.
We're so alternative.
I am Jack Peterson, I am Ajax, I am Mr. Clean, I'm Corona Guy, I am Mr. Trivia, the reigning, defending, I'm Mr. Predictions, I'm the host of the year, the Slammy Award winner, I am 1 year anniversary guy, and I am joined every single week by the man across the internet.
I'm Phil, I'm Prince Havoc, I'm the real host of the year. We all know Jack got the pity vote. I'm God, I'm better than Jack, I am too sweet, I am elite, I'm all elite. I'm better than Jack. I just want everyone to know that I'm better than Jack. Whatever, he won trivia. Whatever, host of the year. Whatever, it's all fake. Mr. Predictions, it's not real. It's all given to him by me. And I just want everyone to know, I feel like every week I have to get this point across, that it's all given to him by me. I am his God. He bows to me. He prays to me. Isn't that right, Jack?
No, I mean, none of that is right, actually. But Phil, look, you mentioned Mr. Predictions, and that's going to be a big theme of today, because we are going to be predicting the one and only Fastlane, one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year, can I say? I'm looking forward to this one, dude. Okay, you sense the sarcasm? Yeah. We're going to be talking about the New Japan Cup. You're going to be having your ears plugged because, you see, you haven't watched it despite having boldly predicted Kenta to win the whole thing. And what else are we going to do, Phil? Last week we looked back on the 1 year of Fight Guys. We talked about a lot of stuff having to do with the fact that we've been doing this for an entire calendar year. And this week we're going to be reminiscing in another way, because we're going to be talking about the first wrestling shows we ever went to as children. We're going to be talking about what indoctrinated us to the world of wrestling. Phil, apparently you had some sex dreams about Nia Jax, Nyla Rose. I mean, some pretty gross shit that you were telling me about. Some stuff we probably shouldn't say on the air, but, you know, I apparently I'm going to let you do it. I don't know.
Come on now.
And I'm sure Randy Orton was involved at some point in there, too. I mean, we know you, but... Phil, we have so much to get to today, and at this point, I mean, what do you want to start with? Do you think we should be talking about these predictions?
Let's talk about them.
All right, I think it's a good call, because Phil, look, we, for a long time, for the better part of this entire year that we've been around, right? We have been predicting pay-per-views. We've been going back and forth about who is truly Mr. Predictions. And at this point, for the third time, I am Mr. Predictions. And I'm defending this title, not only with the New Japan Cup that we predicted last week, but also Fastlane. And you know what? Coincidentally, both are this Sunday. The finals of the New Japan Cup is this Sunday. So is Fastlane. So by next week, we're going to be coming in here and, you know, I'm going to have this gigantic gap. You know, I think that's going to be a theme tonight, you know, because of Phil's Nia Jax stream, but a giant gap that I'm going to form between myself Phil and in this predictions game. But Phil, ultimately, what this is it is a battle to determine who is
Mr. Predictions.
And at this point in our game, I am Mr. Predictions. And Phil, this is the part of the show where you plug your ears, okay? This is the part of the show where you take your headphones off or something, okay? Because I'm about to spoil something for Phil because, you know, he doesn't watch wrestling.
Thing off.
You're taking him off. Okay,
I can't
you're
hear
him
you
off.
Now, so.
Yeah.
Wait to get my attention when you're done.
I don't know if I even believe you that you're not listening to me. I feel like you're definitely hearing me right now. All right, guys, now that he's gone. Okay. Phil, he was telling me about this dream he was having earlier, and it's one of the most disgusting things you will ever hear. He was talking about Randy Orton, and he was describing Randy Orton's, you know, lower regions in a very graphic way. I mean, he was telling me that he'd come up with a version of the RKO that can somehow be used in the bedroom. It's a very strange thing. We're going to get to this. And I mean, he would agree with me if he could hear me, but look, this is not the point. Well, I got to tell you about something that happened this week. The New Japan Cup has been happening, right? As you know, if you actually watch wrestling, you're not a filthy casual like Phil who masquerades around like he's a wrestling fan and pretends to be one, but isn't actually, doesn't watch NXT, you know, et cetera. But the New Japan Cup has been happening, and Phil picked Kenta to win. And guess what, guys? If you watched it, you know, Kenta got fucking destroyed by my pick, Shingo Takagi. My pick to make it to the semis. I have Jay White winning the whole thing. He's still in it. Ultimately, this is what it is, okay? Before I let him come back, we each got a point because we picked Evil to make it to the semifinals. He has made it to the semifinals. We each get a point, right? But I did get a point because Shingo beat his boy Kenta. Or I don't know what in his mind made him pick Kenta. As you know, he's not the smartest, not the sharpest tool in the shed, not the sharpest Kenta in the Kenta box. He's, you know, we know Phil. But he picked Kenta. Kenta lost to Shingo. The score right now in the predictions game is 85 points to me, 83 points to Phil. That's the score. I'm 2 points ahead. I was 1 point ahead. And Phil, if I can wave my arms to get your attention, you can come back right now. Come back. You can hear this.
Hey.
All right, Phil's back.
Hey.
Phil, I was saying only nice things about you. And at this point...
Whoa.
Phil, you had your chance to drop your microphone when your sound was muted. At this point, it's, you know...
Right.
Comes off a little, like, unprofessional, so...
Uh-huh. Unprofessional. Aren't you using a MacBook from, like... 2010 that can't stream. Yeah, it's whatever.
Oh, Phil, we don't talk about that.
So let's go to the predictions.
The predictions, yeah. Oh, that's the thing we're gonna do. Okay, so Fastlane is this Sunday. Fastlane, right? Hey, Phil, you know, been watching these shows. Fastlane more like slow lane, you know, because it doesn't look that good to me. It just kind of looks like shit to me. It's kind of boring. So. But Phil, Fastlane is this Sunday. It's a pay-per-view that, you know, honestly, if we're being objective here, tends to be pretty boring. It tends to be a show that might have good matches sometimes, but the storylines are not going to be that important because we're very close to WrestleMania. We're like a month away from WrestleMania, right? It's nothing here that is happening is probably going to be that important going into WrestleMania or in the future. But I think we should pick it because there could be some matches that have surprising results. We could disagree on some stuff, and there's six matches here we have to talk about. So, Phil, I think at this point, we might as well start with a match that is a rematch from, what is it, Elimination Chamber or something? I don't know. I didn't watch it. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, they're defending their women's tag titles again against Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Last time was a really bad match, really bad finish. I guess I'm hoping it's just a little bit better here.
Yay. Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks are so cool. I hope they win. But, like, I mean, it would be interesting if they won. Because, like, you know, they're fighting for the title at Mania. I don't know. That would be pretty interesting. I'd love to see that. But I don't know. It's nothing that I'm thinking about, really, honestly. I'm tired of Shayna and Nia. Like, I like them, but I'm just tired. I'm just getting tired of seeing them fight the same people, and just I'm bored with their whole thing. I don't know. I'm going to go with Shayna and Nia retaining, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you've kind of always been bored with Shayna and Nia, though. I mean, they've not had a big place in your heart forever, but I can understand.
I liked them when they first started, but it's like they're fighting the same people. It's always the same. Like I liked her. I liked them around the time when Nia Jax is putting Lana through the table. So that's 9 weeks of liking them. But I don't know. They just fight the same people. It's just Mandy Rose or Dana Brooke and then Lana or whatever. Like, I feel like the whole women's division would be awesome if just Asuka, Shayna, and Nia were doing completely different things than what they're doing right now.
No, I think you're actually completely right. The from the chat, Reggie is there this time. It's all different. From my memory, Reggie cost Sasha and Bianca the match last time. Now, this time, he's blatantly on the side of the tag team champions. But here's my hot take.
I love Reggie.
I hate Reggie. That's not my hot take, though. My hot take
Reginald is the best. Reginald is a superstar. He's just a poor guy. I feel bad for him. I hope things go well for him.
I feel bad for him because he thinks he seems to be very enamored with Nia Jax, and I think, you know, definitely a charity case, shall we say.
Wait, is Reginald in this match?
Yeah, he's in this match. Yeah, it's a triple threat: Reginald by himself and against the other two teams.
Okay, I didn't watch SmackDown. I didn't get to see it.
You didn't watch SmackDown ever? That I didn't. Do you not know who Reginald is?
No, last week's SmackDown, the one that just passed. I didn't see it. Did something happen? Did he form an alliance finally with Sasha Banks or something?
Wait, you missed SmackDown this week?
Yeah. Dude. The same way you missed AEW last week. I missed SmackDown.
I've never missed AEW in my life, Phil. What happened, Phil, is that Reginald and Sasha Banks, Reginald and Nia Jax had a live sex celebration on SmackDown. How could you miss this?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I was working.
Right. Okay.
You know me. Yeah.
First time in your life. Phil, this is my hot take. It's not just that Reginald is garbage. I don't like him. Personally, I don't. But from the chat, Sebi has never missed an AEW dark. And I don't know why I read that. That has nothing to do with what I'm saying right now, but it's also true.
Reginald is the best. Reginald is so slept on by people like you. It's ridiculous.
Have you seen Reginald's hairline? It's nothing to be proud of. It's
great.
Really atrocious.
Your hairline?
You can't see it right now. I'm wearing a hat. But you're not exactly wrong. Reginald,
for a reason.
He has a full, that's true. From Reginald has a full buzz cut on the front, like the front half of his head. And it goes up to about halfway through, about the equator of his head, shall we say. And then the dreadlocks start. And it's not intentional. Like I've seen, like Rich Swann did that one time, right? He shaved it all back there. I'm pretty sure he's just going bald up to here. And then he decided, I'm going to grow the dreadlocks.
I think you're jealous. Doesn't this sound like jealousy? It sounds like you're just jealous of Reginald for everything that he's doing and how good he is in the ring, how good he is on the mic, how nice he dresses, his nice dangling cross earring that I also got. I think you're just hating on him. He's able to do all these angles with these beautiful divas, women wrestlers. I think you're just hating. I think you wish you were Reginald, and you're just trying to find his flaws. You're trying to point out his flaws to make yourself feel better. But I'm not going to let that happen. Reginald is the best. Reginald is the future of professional wrestling.
You can say what you want, but look, Kang in the chat says, I'm just jealous that Reginald's the best sommelier we've ever seen in the WWE. That is actually true. He is at least top five sommeliers in WWE, so I'll give him props for that. Also from the chat, Majin Tweak says, Jack just hates black people. Can't confirm or deny. But Phil, my hot take, which I've been trying to get to here.
Apparently I have curls for the girls, which is true.
You do. Very true. My hot take is that Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks will win this match. And whether they...
I kind of feel like they will. Just because they're fighting each other at Mania, and it'll be interesting.
Yeah, didn't they make a point on SmackDown? Oh, you didn't watch SmackDown, right? You don't watch wrestling. They made a point on SmackDown of saying, there's only one time ever that tag team champions have fought each other at WrestleMania for a title, for a world championship, right? I think this is John Cena and Shawn Michaels. I didn't even know they were champions at the time, but apparently that happened. I feel like the reason that Michael Cole felt like he needed to say that was because it's going to happen again here. And I think that would change the dynamic. But then again, if that does happen, I don't know what Shayna and Nia are supposed to do. So honestly, probably won't happen, but I'm going
to
say yes.
Do what they did when they lost the titles the first time.
When they lost the titles the first time, they just floundered for a month and then won them again.
They just kept beating, like, Mandy Rose.
Right, Lana. That's true.
No, Lana beats them all the time now. I'm glad.
All the time.
I kind of want to go Sasha Banks and Bianca just for, like, on some emotional betting, just for the fact that they'll be fighting each other at WrestleMania.
So you're changing your pick because of me?
Yeah, I'm changing my pick, yeah.
Well, then, Phil, I'm going to change my pick to Nia and Shayna because it was a trap the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I just want to disagree with you, basically. I don't have any say in this. We've talked about this match for too long, considering it's a match I do not
give
a shit
about. See how I made him change his pick right there?
I literally made you change your pick.
I'm the real Mr. Predictions. You'll see.
If this actually does go this way, I would be so pissed. Shane McMahon, right? You know this guy, Shane McMahon?
Mm-hmm.
Can't stand him, but he came back and he's officially wrestling again, even though I believe he lost a match like a year ago that said he couldn't wrestle ever again, so I don't know what's happening, but he's wrestling again, and he's wrestling Braun Strowman. And the interesting thing about this is that there was Nickelodeon Slime involved on Raw. There have been a multitude of like really bad segments with these two, which is to be expected, but you know, as I mentioned, Shane McMahon had one of the worst promos of the year so far, where he forgot his lines while he was trying to call Braun stupid, and he just goes, hey, not saying you're stupid, but, and then we would just trail off for like 5 minutes straight trying to figure out where he was going with that. And
it's pretty funny. Who is really bullying Braun though on Raw? Like this past week, he was just completely bullying Braun, and I was like, wow, this is actually pretty crazy. I'm interested.
Are you what? I liked the slime on Raw, right? I liked the slime. I enjoyed it. I think the Nickelodeon slime was perfect for the gimmick they were doing. Also, I don't know if this is intentional, but it made him look like Shrek, right? I feel like he's probably going to mention that at some point. He's going to be like, hey, look, you, hey, Braun, I'm not saying you looked like Shrek with all that green stuff on you, but get it? Because you're huge. You're like an ogre. That's like the thing. And that's going to be Shane's big insult. So.
Maybe you're honest, because I didn't get the slime. I didn't understand why there was slime, but I was pretty entertained to see Braun almost drown from the slime at one point. I thought it was pretty crazy. Shane, I guess.
You're going with Shane?
I don't want to bet against Shane, but I don't want to bet against Braun either. I mean, Braun has to win, though, because, like, poor guy got bullied, but, like, it's wrestling, so I don't know.
It is. You're right. It is wrestling.
It would be better for Braun to win because he's an actual competitor. Like Shane can lose and nothing happens. Oh well, Shane lost. But if Braun lost, it's like, wow, that's crazy. You can never look at him the same again. Almost like what happened to the Fiend when Goldberg beat him.
That's true. I mean, see if Shane wins, then I don't think it's going to be clean. He's not going to go in and just pin him with a jackhammer. That's not going to happen. So it would be a little different. But the thing I don't like about this feud is not the slime. People were criticizing the slime, making fun of it. People were there's a lot of things that people don't like about this. And it's all understandable, but I don't mind the slime. What I don't like is that Shane made Braun look like such an idiot. He just without any help, just beat the shit out of a guy who's twice his size. Like, where does this come from? He's literally Shane McMahon, never been positioned as like an actual tough guy. He's been positioned as like a guy who throws baby punches and we just move on. But it's you know, it's not interesting. And also Shane is a stupid man. Can I say that? I know somebody who knows his kids. So
nice.
Basically, I'm 4 degrees from Shane McMahon, and I would like to tell him two 4 degrees from his face, you suck, pal. Not a good wrestler. Okay. So
cool.
Anyway,
no, I'm interested. I do feel bad for Braun. I find it funny what Shane's doing on the mic. I find it pretty funny, but I feel bad for Braun, and it's like, wow, like Braun was this guy, this big guy that no one can stop. Like, he would not go down. It took like 10 Superman punches for him to go to a knee, and now it's like he's getting slimed and elbow dropped through tables and hit with cameras. But then again, a camera's pretty heavy, so I can understand. Like, I can understand. Like, it's not like Shane hit him with a clothesline. Like, he got hit in the face a bunch of times with a big, like, 4K, 8K camera. So, I mean, it's understandable. But he was very humiliated. And then at the end, Braun was like, I'm going to get you, or something like that. And it was just like, it was sad to see. It was sad to see, because he was still trying to be tough, even though he was just covered in slime and put through a table.
And I'm in the camp of people.
Poor Braun.
Yeah, I'm in the camp of people who doesn't, I mean, by camp, I might mean I'm alone in this, but I've never liked Braun Strowman. I've never bought him as a tough guy. I think his mic skills are just too weak. He's a decent wrestler, and his feud with Roman Reigns was cool, but I can't think of another thing Braun Strowman's done that I enjoyed. And I've never rooted for him in my life. I have never thought he was an intimidating heel. And at this point, it's basically two of my least favorite wrestlers right
now.
Say
it to his face, Jack. Say it to his face. It's like they're trying to kill his whole tough guy thing and make you like feel bad for him. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I want Braun to be like, Braun is like 6'9 and like 300 pounds. He should be killing people. I don't want to see him emotional.
Yeah, Phil, I agree with what you just said. I would also 69 Braun Strowman. Good call there. But do you have Shane winning this match?
I got Braun winning it.
You got Braun winning. I think that's a good shot. I am going to pick Shane. I'm going to say we disagree now on two matches in a row. I think it might be a DQ. I think if Braun wins, it's a DQ, because I think this goes to WrestleMania. If it continues. I'm going to go with Shane, because I think he's going to win via some sort of cheating, or something's going to happen that's going to, maybe he'll get himself, or he'll get Braun to disqualify himself, right? He'll throw a chair to him or something and make sure he like hits him. That's my pick. And Phil, so far we disagree on both of these matches. These are also two matches that I really deeply do not care about. So let's move on to the ones I do care about. Drew McIntyre, right? Drew McIntyre, you know this guy? He's fighting Sheamus. And the first two matches they had on Raw were both pretty great.
Really great. Yeah.
It's unfortunate, because I think this could have been built to a really good blood feud, great climax, and it still probably will be.
It's going to be a hell of a match. They probably were holding back all the other times.
But what I mean is that now that they have Bobby Lashley like officially announced, like they're going to fight at Mania, him and Drew, which I think is probably not going to happen exactly there. But I'm holding out hope they throw Miz in there. But I think that this
Randy,
match...
I'm hoping they throw Randy in it.
It's not going to happen, Phil. You got to stop hoping for these things. You're going to let yourself down. So Drew McIntyre and Sheamus was a great feud where they were like two former friends and they were going to have this big blow-off match. But now at this point, it's just got like some of the heat taken out of it, because Bobby Lashley's already confirmed to fight Drew. Not the winner, but Drew specifically.
I know.
He's like looking past him, you know what I mean? So it's a lot less interesting. Yeah. But who do you have in this match?
I mean, obviously Drew's going to win. He's not going to lose a match going into Mania.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have something like if Sheamus wins, he's in the match or something like that. Like, what does Sheamus get if he wins? Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. And if
Drew loses, he has no momentum going into WrestleMania and he looks weak. Like, Drew has to win. Like, but it's going to be a really good match, though. I know that. But it kind of sucks, because it's like, we pretty much already know Drew's going to win. Like, there's no way the challenger for the title at WrestleMania is going to lose a match in the pay-per-view before it. Like, this doesn't make sense.
Right. I mean, there's always like a Elimination Chamber or Fastlane or whatever, a match for like the championship challenger to go into that they're obviously going to win, but has some momentum behind it. It's always happens every year. I'm also going to go McIntyre. I mean, I'm not going to pick Sheamus in this one. That would be ridiculous. Can't lose my lead.
It would be interesting, though. It would be interesting. The next night on Raw, that would be an interesting Raw.
That's true. But, I mean, they don't, you know, they didn't give any promises to Sheamus of, like, if you win, it's triple threat. Even if they did, Sheamus is not going to get added to the match.
Never know.
No,
you
I'm
never know.
Sure.
What if, think of this. What if Sheamus is like, I beat the challenger, I should be in this match, blah, blah, blah. He gets put in the match, and then Miz is like, I was just champion. I've been screwed this whole time, and he does one of those promos, and he gets put in the match, fatal four-way.
Ooh, you know
what?
And then
Randy Orton shows up too, and he's like, I haven't been feeling well. There's black stuff coming out of me. Give me a chance.
It's not fatal going to be Randy. It's not Randy Orton, dude. It's not. One of these days, I just have to make you commit to the fact that Randy Orton is not challenging for the title this year. It's just not happening.
But he's Randy Orton.
I would be much more interested. I was actually about to ask you what you thought about this McIntyre-Lashley match, because I do not care about it at all at WrestleMania. Happened already last year.
Of course you don't. I can't wait for it. I love it so much.
Why?
I think it's going to be an amazing match.
It might be an amazing match, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it will be. But I don't care about it
storyline-wise. Bobby Lashley is amazing. Bobby Lashley is in his prime. Drew McIntyre is in his prime. I can't wait for it.
Please, if Bobby Lashley comes out and says
one... beasts. Killing each other. What?
If Bobby Lashley comes out and is able to say one full sentence on the microphone, then I'll give him his props. But so far, hasn't been able to. And Lashley screwed the Miz. And I think that Drew's probably just going to beat him at Mania, and there's going to be no point to this last, like, 3 months of storyline. So, just like there was no point to the Randy Orton thing because Drew got it back anyway, they're just going to do this to pad what's-his-name's record, make him a three-time champion. I don't care. I would care if it was a four-way if Miz and Sheamus were in there. That's a little bit more interesting, and maybe Miz has a chance. But I don't care, and that's all I'm going to say about this right now.
The Almighty era has begun. Yes, the Almighty era has most definitely begun. And Jack is just, he doesn't know what business is. He doesn't understand. This is business, Jack. This is the Hurt business. You don't get it. You don't get it. You're not one of us.
Well, Phil,
you're wearing a beanie. I'm wearing a suit right now.
You're not wearing a suit right now. One thing that
people are listening to this can't see it, so I'm pinning a picture for them, and I am wearing a suit right now.
I see. So that was
I'm all for the Hurt business. I'm a part of this Almighty era, and Bobby Lashley will reign supreme for years and years until I get to WWE and fight him. That's the way I see it. Scratch that, until Randy Orton beats him. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself there. But yeah, next one.
I was going to say the one thing that you don't seem to get, Phil, is the fact that Randy Orton is not, in fact, going to be challenging for the title at WrestleMania. What he is seemingly going to be doing...
He might be.
Is fighting The Fiend. And the next step, I guess, on that storyline is a match that's supposed to happen this Sunday, which is Randy Orton versus Alexa Bliss. And I don't know what's going to happen here, but I, for one, I think what I want to see is, you know, a 6-star indie match. I want to see them hit each other with forearms, do dives. I want to see Alexa take a RKO from the top rope and kick out. I want to see the full thing, Phil. I want to see thumbtacks. I would like to see light tubes. And if anything less, I will be disappointed, because what they're advertising right now is a match. And if there's some shenanigans, Phil, then I'm gonna be pretty confused.
Listen, I don't care what it is. All I know is that Randy Orton needs to kill Alexa Bliss so that she's out of his life, so that he can go after his world title. That's all I know.
So, Phil, have you heard of the concept of paranoid delusions? Because you see, some people who are affected with schizophrenia, they believe that they're very convinced that something is going to happen that or has happened that really hasn't, and it's very hard for them to really look at the world around them and assess that something has long passed or isn't going to happen. I'm just concerned for you.
Randy Orton is going to be world champion, I promise you.
Phil, is Randy Orton in the room right now?
No. I wish.
Yeah. So Phil, do you think this will be a straightforward match?
I don't know. No, it might be some what you call it, cinematic thing, but like, I'm all for it. I don't know why. I really don't know. I have no clue. It'd be interesting if it was a match. It'd be real cool. I don't know what's going to happen, but all I know is that Randy needs to kill Alexa Bliss so that, you know, he can go after his world title because she's standing in his way. He killed The Fiend, burned him alive. He should not have shown compassion. I know he's killing himself every day because of that moment of weakness of his. If he burned Alexa right there, he'd be in the main event of WrestleMania right now. He should have killed Alexa. Oh, my God.
You're probably right, actually, because he wouldn't have been cursed. Yeah, and he wouldn't have gone into the chamber.
You know what I learned from this? You know what the life lesson I learned from this?
Yeah, I hope there was something.
Never show compassion. Never show it, or you won't get what you want. That's the life lesson I learned.
Phil, are you having thoughts lately of harming others, of, you know, not showing compassion to other people? Is this a problem for you?
Listen, I just know I need to not ever show compassion. Because Randy Orton showed compassion. Look at him. Not challenging for the world title. Listen, that match with The Fiend he's going to have at Mania better be the best match I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to be sad. Either way, I'm going to be happy. I mean, it's Randy Orton. He can do no wrong. But I'm just saying, if he didn't show compassion, he would be challenging for the title. And it taught me to never show compassion.
I wonder how many, like, you know how kids will like test out wrestling moves, like they ban the curb stomp because apparently, you know, Vince was scared that Shane was going to do it to Stephanie, etc. Right. Well, I mean, they would have as kids. I'd like to see it now, though. But I wonder how many kids bought into the Randy Orton thing and thought exactly what you just said and were like, wait, but Randy Orton said he showed compassion and then he started losing matches, so maybe I shouldn't either. And that's how you get your Elliot Rodgers. That's how you get your, like, mosque shooters, cool. Maybe.
Yeah.
So who wins this match, Phil?
Randy Orton.
I know you're picking that emotionally here and you cannot pick against Randy Orton for the life of you, but I think there's probably a solid chance Randy Orton literally does actually win this match and RKO's Alexa Bliss and pins her, like, as a message, and then Fiend shows up, you know? I think that could happen.
I want him to burn her alive.
That also is a possibility. No compassion. I think what probably is going to happen is there's probably going to be a Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania, right? Where, because didn't Alexa mention something about looking back at your past or something, or Randy Orton should atone for his mistakes? And I think they're going to do a Firefly Funhouse match like with Cena, and they're going to show him his career and all this and do the whole psychological deal, which I'm excited for. But I think before that happens, there has to be some sort of big explosion return. So what I'm going to pick here is that The Fiend shows up during the match and interrupts it. I don't think there's a finish. I think I'm going with a draw.
Okay, that makes sense.
But you're picking Orton, which I could see happening. Now, from the chat, Ken Corporation says he punt kicks her and she gets up. And see, that sounds like it might be a joke, but I think that could happen. And I don't want to see it, but I think it probably will happen. There's at least a chance because these curb stomps to The Fiend, all this stuff happened. He got thrown through that thing and walked out of the fire. If Alexa Bliss has the power of The Fiend, she could be the first one to kick out of the punt kick. And
imagine he keeps kicking her. Like, she's just standing, she's laying there on her hands and knees, just looking up at Randy Orton laughing while he keeps kicking her.
His kick just goes through her. Like, it just, like, she, like, phases through his foot. This is totally, there's going to be camera tricks. It's going to be a whole thing. When The Fiend fought Seth Rollins and was kicking out of the curb stomps, there were fans in attendance, so they couldn't do any kind of crazy camera tricks. This time, she doesn't even have to kick out. She can just, like, it can just hit her and bounce off, you know?
Yeah.
So,
oh my God.
I have a draw.
Look, I just want to say I like this whole feud. I like it very much. I think Alexa Bliss is great, and of course Randy Orton's great, but I'm just a little sad that Randy Orton's not fighting for the title, but he might. He might be.
He won't be. But Phil, what do you think, because you mentioned this before the stream, what do you think is the future of Randy Orton after WrestleMania? Because if he fights The Fiend, I want you to say this objectively, because I know you think that he's going to, you know, if he fights The Fiend, if he doesn't in fact have a title match, that he will right after, he'll go and fight McIntyre or whatever for the title again. Realistically, probably not going to happen. What do
it's
you think
the summer of Randy Orton.
Is he going to...
It's the summer of Orton, I promise you.
So he's gonna say that his contract is up, he's going to cut a pipe bomb, and then he's going to walk out and they're going to have a unified title match with him and Drew.
Yeah.
Is that your actual prediction?
I don't know what's going to happen. I really have no clue. I mean, the only way to predict this is to just to see what happens at Mania, I guess. But, like, I really would hope that he goes to AEW. I mean, I really would hope that he goes to have a world title shot. Well, not a world title shot, a world title reign, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I would love to see it. It needs to happen. And I think, I know it will. It will happen. I know it will.
Phil, I wish I had that much hope about anything in wrestling. But, you know, I'll commend you for it. I just know that you're going to be let down really badly at WrestleMania. So I'm going to apologize in advance, but... Phil,
the same way I was let down on Elimination Chamber. I didn't want to talk about that. That was bad.
Yeah,
that was bad.
I hope that Randy Orton has more years left in his career. I hope he gets the title again. Who knows? At this point, it seems like he's putting a lot of people over. I am scared for Randy Orton. As much as I make fun of you for it, I am not, you know, I would like Randy Orton to win the title again. I would. And I hope that happens. But, Phil, that's in the future. And right now, Big E is defending the Intercontinental Championship against Apollo Crews. And his new, I guess, Nigerian accent gimmick.
Apollo!
First of all, I want to know, because we haven't actually discussed this at all on the show. What do you think of this new Apollo Crews gimmick? I'm very conflicted about it.
I love it so much. He finally found his thing, his gimmick, his way. He finally did it. He's just always been this guy that smiles and does flips, and I never liked him. And now he's bad, and he's like, I'm not going to sit in catering. I'm royalty. And he's coming out in freaking green and white and stuff. It's very cool. And he has his accent. And I want this gimmick to go so far. I love Apollo Crews so much. He's winning this title.
Oh.
Apollo's winning this title. Yes.
Damn.
I love it. I'm very happy.
Yeah, you know, I'm conflicted, like I said, about this gimmick because I do like it a lot. I am a big fan of the Apollo gimmick. I'm just confused why this isn't being looked at the same way as the Kofi Kingston accent gimmick, because people, even to this day, will cut joke promos on Kofi about, hey, but you were Jamaican, remember that? 10 years ago? You remember when you, oh, where's your accent, Kofi? But now Apollo comes out doing a fake accent, which we know is fake because he switched to it in mid-promo, and it's just like, it's nothing?
He's doing it on purpose because that's how his people talk. Come on, Jack. Yeah, Jack is conflicted because he's racist in the chat. He hates to see a black man succeeding. You're correct. He doesn't like Apollo Crews. He doesn't like Bobby Lashley. He doesn't like Reginald. I have to say.
Oh shit! You're exposing me here, Phil. Can we do this after the show? We're not supposed to talk
about
it.
It's so true. It's so true. You're so right.
No, Phil. I love Apollo.
Literally
Crews,
every black person that we mentioned, you don't like.
So okay, name another black person then.
What do you mean, name another black person?
I'm not, maybe these are the three examples. And first of all, Apollo Crews, I love. I am just saying the accent
You're
is
conflicted.
Questionable. I'm conflicted about the accent, but I do like the new gimmick. I like that he's doing something different because he's been like a pseudo jobber, flip flop between kind of a push, now a jobber. And Jack can't even think of another black person. What a racist from the chat. I asked Phil to think of another black person and he couldn't. So
Big E, okay, Big E.
I like Big E.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, every person that I say, you're going to say you like. Cedric Alexander. Oh, I like Cedric Alexander.
So good.
Oh, I love Shelton Benjamin. Yeah.
Phil,
I love Montez Ford.
I do. Jack. Well,
you're horrible.
Phil, I also, I have black friends. So.
Oh, okay. What's their names?
Yeah. So, Phil, you have Apollo Crews winning this championship. 100%. And I got to say, I was coming into this thinking, yes, also, I would pick Apollo Crews. I thought this was going to be a hot take. I thought you were going to go Big E all the way because right before Mania.
No. Apollo Crews.
Okay, well, you know what? I am inclined to agree with you. It's a little bit tough because Big E hasn't had this title for that long, and it would be a little weird for him to lose it going into Mania. But Apollo Crews has already lost, what, like two or three different... title matches at this point, and he's now got this new gimmick. He's fully heel. He's doing a new thing.
Listen,
got to, right?
Listen, imagine his entrance at WrestleMania. He has a whole, like, royal thing going on with rose petals and stuff, like, coming to America. Imagine it. Oh, my God. It would be great.
I certainly...
He has Eddie Murphy there.
Oh, my God. Eddie Murphy carrying him to the ring?
Yeah. No, it would be great, though. Like, I know for a fact he would have some real cool, like, royalty entrance.
Yeah.
And I would love to see it.
I would like to see that as well. I could see it going either way, and I'm not, you know, Big E absolutely could win this. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, maybe I should change my pick just in case to be safe. But I really think it's Apollo. I think it's Apollo. It's got to be Apollo. Phil, the main event is someone that we actually probably won't disagree on. So we're going to probably leave it at this as far as the disagreements go. But I'll throw it out there. Roman Reigns is fighting Daniel Bryan. And the enforcer of this match is going to be either Edge or Jey Uso, depending on the result of this week's match. Obviously, it's going to be Edge. And I think I'm picking Roman Reigns.
I mean, you got to pick Roman Reigns, but imagine Daniel Bryan. Imagine Daniel Bryan won. Oh, my God.
I would love if Daniel Bryan. I would shit myself.
If Kevin Owens, after all this, if Kevin Owens couldn't beat Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan's not beating Roman Reigns.
That's probably true. I don't have very much hope for Daniel Bryan winning, but like I said last week, I had him as my number two on my top five, right? And I would love nothing more than to see him win, except the only thing I would love more is for my number one last week, The Miz, to get his baby back, you know, like R-Truth did. By the way, what was that? R-Truth just asks Bad Bunny for the title back and he just gives it to him?
I'm glad. Well, I mean, he got beer, Stone Cold lunchbox, and the Stone Cold belt. I mean, come on.
But I thought the whole point of this was, like, didn't Bad Bunny just win a Grammy? Like, the whole point was to have him take the title with him and go to, like, talk show appearances and, like, he's a celebrity, but then they just give it back to R-Truth.
That title is R-Truth, and he needed it back, and Bad Bunny did the right thing, because there's no way R-Truth is going to get that title back with Damian Priest being by Bad Bunny's side. It was just never going to happen. So Bad Bunny did the right thing, gave R-Truth his baby back. I'm happy. And he got some real cool Stone Cold merch out of it.
And Priest just stood there, just like allowing this to happen. He's been protecting him for all these weeks. Even that night protected him from getting rolled up. And good. Now just like, sure.
Jack doesn't like Bad Bunny or Damian Priest because they're not pure white like him.
Yeah.
So I've heard. Allegedly.
Allegedly, but yes, you're right. Phil, the main event, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan. You said there's a chance that Daniel Bryan takes it. Do you think it will truly happen?
Nah, Roman Reigns. I'm telling you, Kevin Owens had like four opportunities, didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
Elimination Chamber, got eliminated like first. Like, nah. There's no way Daniel Bryan's going to beat him. I would love to see it. It'd be very cool, but come on. Roman Reigns, of course.
Yeah, I have Roman Reigns as well. I am very excited for this match, though.
Daniel Bryan and Edge had that little thing backstage where they were like, oh, yeah, it's a dream match because they both broke their neck. And Daniel Bryan inspired Edge to come back.
That's
whatever,
not why.
Broken neck bond.
Hmm.
But, come on. Roman Reigns is obviously going to main event WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's spear versus spear or it's knee versus spear. So I think spear versus spear is going to happen. I've seen people online throwing around the idea that it could be a triple threat, which I think is kind of ridiculous, but... Nonetheless, I have Roman Reigns, you have Roman Reigns, and with that, I'm excited for this pay-per-view. Well, that's a lie. I was about to say I'm excited for this pay-per-view. I'm not. Fastlane is this Sunday, Phil, and as far as the matches we agree on, we agree that Roman Reigns is taking this. We think that Apollo is going to be the new Intercontinental Champion, and we believe that McIntyre will defeat Sheamus, but the other three matches in this card will all have points on the line, Phil. We disagree on the women's tag titles. I have the champs retaining, and somehow I convinced you to take the challengers. I have Shane
actually,
McMahon.
I tricked you. And you'll see. Look, it's fine. I already did this before with New Day.
You did. It's fine. Was like a year ago, yeah. And I have Shane McMahon. You have Braun Strowman in that match. And with the Randy Orton Alexa Bliss match, you have Randy Orton winning this straight up. I have some sort of draw or fuck finish. We will see what happens. Three matches with points on the line plus the New Japan Cup finals are this Sunday as well. So by next week's show, you will know who is truly...
Mr. Predictions.
Sometimes I can't get these sounders up fast enough, Phil. And sometimes I just don't want to play the whole thing because it's 23 seconds long. So forgive me. Phil, Fastlane is going to be a big show. It's going to be a lot of fun. But you and I, we have been fans of wrestling for a long time. We've had a podcast where we've talked about it, ranted about it, etc. for a year now. But we've been fans since we were children, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
Phil, do you remember the first wrestling show that you ever saw?
Yeah, I remember it.
You gonna say anything about it?
yeah, it was a. You want to know what it was?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Where's the link? Here it is.
What All happened right. over here?
It was a. It was December 26, 2010, Raw World Tour. Still had a nice Nickelback theme, if I'm correct. And I remember really, is that the main event was John Cena, Wade Barrett, and when Wade Barrett was in the Nexus, and it was in a steel cage, and it was a snowstorm, and it was crazy, but it was fun. First wrestling event ever, Madison Square Garden. Couldn't get any better than that. Well, I guess WrestleMania or something, but yeah.
Probably true. And Phil, this is 2010, which is actually the same year I started watching wrestling. And we were talking about this before the show, and we realized this a while back, but 2010, the year that we both went to our very first wrestling shows ever, they were both house shows. They were both in Madison Square Garden. And I guess they were both coming of age experiences for us. Emphasis on the coming. And Phil, I don't know. Do you want to go first or shall I? Because we found online the full card with, like, notes from people who were there, apparently, the full cards of these shows, these house shows, and we're going to take you back about 11 years ago to the nights that we became, we popped our wrestling cherry, Phil.
Right. Well, you, it was literally your first wrestling show you ever saw.
Yeah.
Me, I was already watching. I've been watching wrestling since, like, 06, but I've never been to a show. So it was like, wow, I'm actually going to see it. In real life, it was like, well, pretty cool.
Well, Phil, then what is the first show you ever watched?
Some SmackDown in 06. Between the months of September and December, 2006 SmackDown. There was a lot of 2006 SmackDown in that time.
Right. Did you watch Raw, or were you fully because that's a departure?
No,
I
wasn't allowed to watch wrestling.
Right.
But I was at my grandma's house Fridays, so, and I slept over, so I would always watch SmackDown, even though I wasn't allowed to, you know. You know how the old watching wrestling with your grandma wrestling thing.
Yeah, that's weird because it is like a trope, right? Like I've heard other wrestlers, I think Kevin Owens says this. There's a lot of wrestlers, Edge, I think, said this at one point, that they like found wrestling, discovered wrestling through watching it with their grandma. And that's the weirdest thing in the world to me. Not just because they're like, you know, old ladies who you would think would just inherently not watch wrestling, but specifically the fact that it's a grandma watching it with like their grandson. Like my grandma, the one time she's ever seen anything wrestling related, she came into the room, I was watching a ladder match, and she literally made like a noise of disgust. Like it sounded like she was dry heaving as she watched a guy get slammed on a ladder, turns around, leaves. I don't think she's ever witnessed any wrestling, any clip, 1 second or an hour of wrestling in her life besides that. So I don't understand the grandma thing, but she was like into it.
Yeah. To this day, still.
To this day, really?
Yeah, still.
Wow, damn.
Watch stuff a lot. Yeah.
Well, Phil, my first wrestling experience was a little bit different, but my first show that I ever went to, Madison Square Garden, was also the first show that I had ever seen. Because, like you said, you weren't allowed to watch wrestling. I also was more subtly not allowed to watch wrestling, and I didn't know about this until later. Because actually, you can find a little bit more of this story, too, on the crossover podcast I did with my father. I mentioned this last week. Let's not get into it. X, is that the thing they do? X Fight Guys? It's called Pops and the Babyface. My father and I did a podcast, and we talked about the history of like us being into wrestling and different generations and all this. It's on the Let's Not Get Into It feed on all podcast platforms, and it will be on ours soon as well. I just keep forgetting to post it. Regardless, Phil, my first show. So I found out recently that apparently my mom did not want me watching wrestling. She was vehemently opposed to it, which, yeah, makes sense. I mean, at this time, well, it was 2010. What did she not want me seeing? She didn't want me seeing Sheamus? Like,
well, that's, yeah, that's weird in 2010. 2006 is understandable, you know?
Because you had the Foley and Flaming Tables, yeah.
Not even Edge and Lita.
That's a good point too, which by the way was one of the first things I ever saw that wasn't like in the moment, like on a DVD. I went back and from the chat I watched the live sex celebration with my dad. Me too. It was one of the first things I ever saw that I went back to the DVD and watched, and I saw the Edge cash in. Then he goes out into the parking lot or whatever. He comes out with his title. He's out with Lita, and he just goes, "Tomorrow night on Raw, we are going to have sex in the ring." And you know, that's when I knew that I loved wrestling, essentially, is what I'm saying. Right. But what I was trying to say here, Phil, is that my mother did not want me watching wrestling. My dad had been a wrestling fan for years. Since, like, the first WrestleMania, he had been sort of watching. From the chat, your father didn't want you to see Sheamus. That's actually from my father in the chat. And I understand that as well. But the first wrestling show I ever went to had nothing to do with my parents and their conflicting views on what wrestling was. It had to do with my best friend at the time. Shout out to Zachary. Haven't talked to him in years. He brought me to a wrestling show. And this was a house show in Madison Square Garden. And it was June. The date was June 19th. And I see this because it is right in front of my eyes right now. I have the card up. According to this website, thehistoryofwwe.com, it was a sellout show. And I understand why, Phil. You have such names as Luke Gallows. You have such names as Jack Swagger as world champion. You have such names as Layla. Not Lita. That would have been much better. You have such names, Phil, as David Otunga. So we know why this was a sellout.
Yeah, 100%. I wish I was there. I don't know why I wasn't there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because it was a sellout, that's why. I got the tickets before you. But
oh, yeah, exactly. And I couldn't go because it was just sold out.
Yeah. It was makes just sense. For the elites, you know. It was for the real wrestling fans like myself who'd never watched it in my life. But I went to this show and I'd never heard of anything about wrestling except for my dad occasionally offhand mentioning it, but, you know, tried not to because I was banned from watching it or whatever. But I went to the show. It was apparently a WWE Super Show, which this is the time like when the brand split wasn't happening. So it was Raw and SmackDown together. And I guess, okay, I mean, you know what? I guess let's just get into it because the first match here, Phil, I remember this very well. Actually, I remember before the show being in a Barnes & Noble. And I remember you've showed the magazine on stream before that you have that has Randy Orton on the cover, WWE Magazine, where his arm is like a snake, right? Now, that we're magazine I one? Was reading in the Barnes & Noble.
Talking about this one. Yeah, this is it right here.
The audio listeners this don't know what you're magazine. Talking about. They can assume.
This is the beautiful magazine right here. Viper Strike.
I looked at that Randy Orton magazine in the store. And I had never seen anything about wrestling, but, you know, from what I could tell from the cover of that magazine, apparently there was a guy who had snakes for arms, and that's all I knew. So as I was in that Barnes & Noble, I look out the window, and you can see the entrance to Madison Square Garden. And you can see the fans on the outside next to the guardrails. And who's walking through there but John Cena, full orange outfit, right? He's got the orange shirt with, like, that looks like a jersey. He's got the hat. He's slapping high fives, and I'm like, that must be the guy. That's the guy. That's the champion right there. And it was. I was right, Phil. I know these things. But look, I went inside this arena and I sat down with my friend. We were in literally the back row of the entire arena. Back row. And I heard later, I think he actually, my friend told me at the time, Zachary told me, right? He says, this is where they had the Royal Rumble in 2002. And Undertaker, I don't know if you remember this, Undertaker eliminated Maven, right? They went up through the crowd. They went up onto the balcony area. And then, what's his name? Undertaker threw Maven through the popcorn machine. You remember this?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, I do. Mr. Trivia, Phil. And apparently, that's where we were. We were literally, the popcorn machine was right there. I could turn around and look at it. So,
I'm not sure
it was the same one.
That's
cool.
Maybe it was.
It must have been. It was only 8 years later.
Did they have tape on it? Was there duct tape all over it?
Yeah, they just kept the same one.
Yeah.
So
I believe it.
I mean, why not? They have all that stuff in the warehouse, right? They might have just left that there. The first match that happened from the back row was Kofi Kingston, okay? Drew McIntyre. Remember this guy, Drew McIntyre? Mm-hmm. They came into the ring, and they were fighting over the Intercontinental Championship. And the notes that I'm seeing here, it says that Kofi Kingston won. And after the match, Matt Hardy ran out of the crowd, assaulted McIntyre, and left through the crowd. Moments later, as McIntyre made his way backstage, Hardy attacked him a second time.
Nice.
So that was the first match. I remember thinking that Kofi's leg drop, the boom. You remember that? Boom.
Right.
Boom. Boom. And then he did the leg drop. I remember thinking that was like the peak of wrestling moves. It was probably the first move I saw that night. So
nice.
Then the next match was Christian and MVP of all people. It's weird how many of these people are still in WWE or AEW right now, but Christian and MVP defeated Luke Gallows and the Masked Man. You remember the storyline with the Straight Edge Society?
Oh my. You saw the Masked Man live? Dude, you should get SmackDown vs. Raw 2009 because there's a real cool storyline with that. In the Randy Orton Road to WrestleMania. But continue.
Is it the same Masked Man?
The Masked Man.
Because
it's I don't think it's the same one. But it might be.
I remember
well,
this.
Well, I can't tell
man
you who
being...
the masked man was. You got to uncover who the masked man was as Randy Orton in the game, and I'm not telling you who it is. You got to play it. That's all I'm gonna say. Yeah, I might buy you SmackDown vs. Raw 2009 because you haven't experienced it, and you're missing out on a lot.
The masked man. I don't know if I'm spoiling anything for you, but it ended up being Joey Mercury, and
right.
I don't know if the, I doubt this is the same person in the game, but I remember playing SmackDown vs. Raw 2009. I think I've told this story before, but with Zachary, the same guy I was on the show with, and I beat him for the first time in the game ever. He'd always been destroying me. I beat him finally, and he ejected the disc out of his Wii, and he said, "I'm taking this back to the backyard, and I'm gonna burn it." And I was like, "Oh yeah," and then he like looked me dead in the eyes, like, "I'm gonna burn it. The game must be broken. It's broken." I was like, "Well, okay, but why don't we just play again? You can win next time. Let's just play again." It's like, "No, this is it. You don't understand. This is it. I'm going to burn this right now. I'm gonna destroy the game. It's because it's glitched. It's broken, and this is all because I beat him."
Is he alive right now?
I have no idea.
It sounds like he might be in jail.
I wouldn't be surprised. This is violent tendencies. But anyway, me and Zachary were at the show, and the next match that happened, yeah, this masked man was there. What was his name? Joey Mercury? That doesn't sound right to me. Joey Mercury?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The next match, I remember this happening right afterwards. Kane, he defeated CM Punk. And actually, CM Punk was a masked man at this time, too. CM Punk had that mask because Big Show had shaved his head. Remember this?
Right.
So that match happened.
I was scared of CM Punk when he got his head shaved. I remember Googling images, trying to look everywhere of leaks of his head shaved.
So you were Googling for CM Punk leaks is what I'm hearing, and I'm totally on board. But the next match was WWE US champion Mike Mizanin. We had Mike Mizanin, I don't know if you've heard of him, defeated R-Truth, Evan Bourne, and Mark Henry in a fatal four-way after pinning R-Truth, after Bourne hit the shooting star press on Truth, but Miz knocked him to the floor and made the cover himself. Whew, the history of WWE.com needs to get better with run-on sentences, Phil.
Okay.
Now, okay, this is the match that changed my life, okay? And I'm so glad this is in print, because I've mentioned this on the show before. I think I named this as one of the most significant moments in my life, in my wrestling life, way back in the early episodes. But Jack Swagger was World Heavyweight Champion at this point.
Good times.
It was, and he faced the Big Show, right? And this match was no disqualifications. So, Phil, I don't know if I can overstate the significance of seeing a man hit another man with a steel chair for the very first time. It was the first time I'd ever seen something like this. There was a kendo stick involved. What else was there? There was probably some steel stairs involved. And I was over the moon. I was like, can they legally do this in this arena? We're in New York City right now. People are just hitting each other with furniture. I don't understand. And then I don't know if you've ever seen the Mad Magazine TV show on Cartoon Network, but the following week they literally did a parody of that match. They had a fake Jack Swagger and a fake Big Show fighting each other in an ODQ match. So it's very weird, but they had this match.
Strange.
Yeah, I don't know why they picked that one, but it was a wild, wild match in my childhood mind. Then the flames shoot up, Phil, and I am close at this point to the entryway. So,
right.
Kane, cool. Phil. That's Kane comes down. He didn't actually have the theme song. He had the shitty one. But Kane comes down. He walks down. He's got his bald head. He's got his glass eye. I am, a couple hundred feet up, so I actually barely see him. But Kane comes down. Never seen this man in my life. Fire is in the arena. That's all I know. I yelled fire in the crowded arena, as you do. And that was the end of my night. Kane That's comes cool. out and he chokeslams Big Show. And then he puts Jack Swagger on top of Big Show. And at this point, I'm turning to Zachary. I'm like, what the fuck? He can do that? He could just come out here and he can just... No, he's not in the match. You don't understand. He's not in the match. Can we do a redo? What is happening here? I was legitimately pissed because I thought my boy, the Big Show, had a chance of winning this World Heavyweight Championship at a non-televised show in New York City. And That's then Kane great. Ruined it for us.
So you thought it was real. That's amazing. How'd you find out it was fake? Well, fake? Predetermined.
What do you mean fake?
Hmm?
Wait, Phil, what do you mean? Fake?
What do you mean? Oh, no, I meant, like, yeah, it was real crazy how the cocaine came out, yeah.
Phil, what are you and trying to... That. Wait, are you telling me it didn't really... none of is any of it real?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Oh yeah, Kane came out and like it was really disrespectful. It's crazy. That sucks.
But you're not saying that wrestling is fake.
No. Nope.
Oh shit. So Jack Swagger wins the match. He retains his championship. He's still world heavyweight champion. And then, at this point, Kane comes back out. And this is the part that blew my mind, because then he chokeslams Jack Swagger. And just that quickly, I'm back on Kane's side, and I'm like, this man is incredible. I went from Big Red Monster to Big Red Machine, okay? And he chokeslams Jack Swagger, and he walks out, raises his arms, whoosh, here comes the fire again. And this time I'm cheering for the fire. This time I'm going, fire, instead of, you know, fire, fire. And people aren't evacuating this town. They're like, yeah, hell yeah, fire. And that was the end of my night too, because then they evacuated. But this was the moment where I feel like I realized, like, you know, anything can happen in the WWE. What is it? The edge of your seat is all you need. What are these catchphrases they use? And it says it says here moments later. I don't remember this at all. I think I was just marking out too much. I was probably stripped down at this point, throwing my shirt around. I was probably spray painting NWO on some people, throwing popcorn. Throwing Zach through the popcorn machine like Undertaker. Moments later, after Big Show recovered, he knocked out Jack Swagger with a punch. So I guess he got his revenge anyway. But the next match, this is interesting. This is an interesting one. WWE Divas champion Eve and the Bella Twins defeated Maryse, WWE Women's champion Michelle McCool, and WWE Women's champion Layla. So Lay Cool when they had the split titles.
Love Lay Cool so much.
They were incredible. When Eve pinned Maryse with a neck breaker, Santino Marella was the guest referee for this bout. And what I remember about this match is that this was the first, I guess this is the first women's match I'd ever seen. And this is when Divas, like, they were, you know, they were Divas and everybody basically hated them. And people in the crowd were screaming, like, this is the worst shit. Like, people were trying to say, competing to see how loud they could say, I'm taking my bathroom break right now. Like, they were yelling over each other going, I don't like when watching women wrestle, you know? It was nice. A competition.
Wow.
And
amazing.
And I was like turning to Zach and I was like,
that's crazy.
I was like, so do we not like when the girls are there? We don't like that? Like, this is like, we just don't appreciate this.
They were all gay, I think. I think you were just surrounded by gay people.
Where are you going with this?
I think that's what it was. No, because they don't like women.
Next match, though, which was very interesting, was Randy Orton. Now, this is a match that could,
You said Randy Orton?
I did say Randy Orton. I know your ears perked up. Randy Orton. This is a match that apparently could still happen this year, according to you. Randy Orton pinned Edge with the RKO.
I can see it. I can see it now.
You can see it in the Madison Square Garden Arena?
Yeah.
You can see it, yeah. It's a beautiful sight. It was a beautiful sight. Not Randy Orton winning, though, because here's the thing, and this might piss you off, but at the time, I had never watched wrestling before, but my friend Zach was a big Edge mark and converted me to Edge. And he says... no, wait, we don't like Randy Orton. Everybody in the arena is chanting for, they're chanting RKO, RKO. You know, you were there, you were chanting RKO. And he goes, no, we don't like him. Edge does a spear, so we should chant spear. So we go, spear, spear. And this might have just been in my head at the time, but I swear everybody turns and they just look right at us and they go, no. They're looking down, whereas we're children, they go, no, it's RKO. You better take that back right now. It's RKO. So we're just nice. We're frozen for the rest of the match. And then, you know, Randy Orton wins with the RKO, so they went home happy. I didn't.
Nice. Well, Randy Orton's great. And, you know, so is Edge. So, I mean, I can't blame you for liking Edge, even though it was kind of forced on you.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. That's interesting. You know, I think that might happen soon, like that Edge versus Randy Orton. Like, maybe for a title.
I kind of doubt it, actually.
I think that that could be, like, Mania. Like, what if Roman Reigns gets injured? Or what if something's going to happen? I'm telling you, Randy Orton's going to fight Edge at WrestleMania. I'm not giving up.
Phil, it's never going to happen. It will never happen. It will literally never happen again. It's not going to happen. I'm just going to, like, give it to you straight, because clearly these other methods of, like, helping you cope with this are not working. So I need to just let you know, Randy Orton will never face Edge in any sort of wrestling capacity inside of a ring.
Yeah, you will.
So the main event was WWE World Champion John Cena pinned Sheamus with the FU. They have it as the FU here. Oh. It was definitely the attitude adjustment at the time. Now, I didn't care about this match except that I knew that John Cena was wonderful, incredible, and I didn't like Sheamus. And the match happens. John Cena gets on the microphone, and you know what he says? He says, and this is something I resent John Cena for the rest of my life. This was the catalyst for me not liking him when I was an edgy, like, 13-year-old, you know, not liking him.
Right.
He gets on the microphone and he goes, "You guys have been such a great crowd tonight. And you know how we came to Madison Square Garden right here for WrestleMania 1. We were here for WrestleMania 10. We were here for WrestleMania 20. So I guarantee you, all you fans here in attendance, we are going to be back in Madison Square Garden for WrestleMania 30. And I go, holy shit, WrestleMania, dude. And no, it didn't happen, as you know.
Yeah, New Orleans. Yeah, and then even when they did come back, they weren't even in Madison Square Garden.
No, they never came back to Madison Square Garden. And I
to this day, they haven't been back to Madison Square Garden.
It's
why would he say that?
I know, he was just lying. I've never gotten over that, Phil. But the big thing about this match was that the Nexus came out, and this was a week after they debuted, so this is a big deal. People didn't even know who the Nexus were. They come out. Daniel Bryan wasn't with them, but everybody else was. They destroyed them. They took out Cena. They were chasing Edge down to the ring, too, which was weird. Edge was running away from them, and they were all chasing him down. Nice. And but I thought Edge was, like, the leader of them, because I didn't know who these people were. I was like, wait, Edge has a group? And he's like, no, they're a different group. He's, like, running away.
Edge.
And they all brawl, apparently. And then Randy Orton. It says Randy Orton, Evan Bourne, Mark Henry, Kofi Kingston, R-Truth, and Edge, who was already there, made the save. And there was a standoff at the end of the show. And then John Cena goes, just remember, I promise you that WrestleMania 30 will be here, and I'm never going back on this promise, and it's a total guarantee. And all the children who are watching their first wrestling show will know that one day you'll go to WrestleMania in this very arena. Made sure we all knew that. You know, that was my first wrestling show, Phil, and it changed my life in many ways.
Well, I mean, of course. I mean, Randy Orton was there.
yeah.
You know, would have changed my life, too, if I was in your shoes. Really, anyone's life would be changed.
Yeah.
In the presence of Randy Orton. Randall Keith Orton.
Randall Keith Orton.
Mine was also, you know, 2010, but it was December 26th, day after Christmas.
Right.
First event, giant snowstorm. It says 11,000 paid, but many didn't show up due to the weather.
Oh, shit.
yeah, that's pretty crazy. But it was Raw World Tour. It was real cool. It says show took place during a snowstorm. Sergeant Slaughter, Heath Slater, Gail Kim, and Alicia Fox could not make it to the arena due to the weather. With the ring announcer Justin Roberts arriving late. And a local having to announce the opening matches. Crazy. Referee duties alternated between Charles Robinson and Nuzio.
I don't know who that is.
But okay. Who is there visiting?
Nunzio? Nunzio from ECW?
I'm not sure.
Phil, I want to just mourn the loss. I want to have a 10-bell salute real quick for the fact that Heath Slater couldn't make it to the arena that night.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should have a moment of silence.
Absolutely. We've had plenty of moments of silence in this episode already, so why don't we just get to the next match?
No, this is the gimmick. I don't know Nuzio, you don't know Joey Mercury.
Oh, right. Yeah.
This is how we do things around here. include a segment in which Michael Cole announced the Raw GM made him the guest host of the show. That's great.
Why?
Featured an in-ring segment of Piper's Pit, which in Roddy Piper's discussed the top 50 WWE Superstars of All Time DVD before introducing his guests as Tito Santana, subbing for Slaughter. After the two had words, Cole interrupted, said the Raw GM wanted them out of the ring, and that they were has-beens. Moments later, the Raw GM had Jimmy and Jey Uso escort Piper and Santana from the ring, with Piper and Santana attacking the Usos and clearing them from the ring.
Whoa. Wait, great time. I'm confused because they say the Raw GM had Jimmy and Jey Uso come down. So were you the only person to ever see the anonymous Raw general manager in person?
I was the only person ever.
What did they look like? Holy shit.
Can't tell you.
Oh, and still anonymous after all these years?
Yeah, can't tell you. Well, they all made us sign a thing that said that we can't speak on it. We'll get in a lot of trouble if we ever spoke on it. So,
you're basically holding like a national secret here.
Yeah, basically.
Hope you realize the power you have.
Yeah, much power. And I'll never reveal it. I'll never ever reveal it. Maybe when I'm 90, but I'm far from that. So sorry.
Shit, I tried.
Yeah. Now, it was a very crazy snowstorm. It was me and my friend and my parents. And then we took the train. And I remember sitting there. They were like, oh, who are you here for? And I was like, John Cena. And they were like, Rey Mysterio. And I was like, cool. Cool. I just remember that on the train. And then, yeah, it was a horrible, horrible, like, blizzard. Like, remember when Raw was canceled that one week? Because there was, like, a blizzard somewhere?
Wasn't that because there was, like, an erupting volcano or something?
No. It was a gigantic snowstorm, and they had to cancel Raw.
Oh, yeah.
It was that bad, except they didn't cancel it. It was still wet. Like, coming back, like, the train shut down, and it was, like, we didn't get home till, like, 4 in the morning, and Damn. It was, like, a lot of hiking in the snow, just very, very crazy blizzard. But it was fun. It was worth it.
You have a really bad track record of going to wrestling shows, being super excited for them, and them having like inclement weather cause you to not get home till 4 a.m., huh?
Dude, it's beyond weather. It's always happened. I never even thought about it till right now. My first event was like that. Another example, Joey Janela's loss in New York. Yeah. I took the wrong bus. I didn't get home till like 4:30. I was literally on the bus during after that show when I was lost. I was on the bus. There was no one on the bus. The bus driver was like, "Hey, stay here," because he's gonna like redo the whole route, but it took a long time. So he stopped the bus and went inside to like a deli and got like food while I just stood there on the bus.
And did you turn the bus off? Did he like turn it like the heater off and everything?
The lights were on. I should have stole the bus.
You could have. You really could have.
But yeah, it was crazy. And then of course our WrestleMania story.
Yeah.
The rain, us not getting home, us standing there in the freezing rain for like 4 hours because the buses didn't work. Every single time we went to Jersey, there was always some type of problem. We always caught the last bus. That if we didn't catch that bus, we literally would have been stuck in Jersey until 5 in the morning the next day. I have bad luck with public transportation and wrestling shows. Not going, but coming back.
It's always coming back. And there's always, you always weird stories. Cause you had that one story where like that Russian lady was like hitting on you in a train station. You have so many
when you
weird
say
stories,
like but... that, stop. When you say it like that, it's so weird. Like it wasn't even like that.
Are you telling me it was
actually,
less weird?
Actually, that was the day before WrestleMania. That was the G1 supercard, which that turning like, the G1 supercar was the day before my birthday, and then like it was 12 a.m. and I was there, and it was literally my 18th birthday, and we were going to WrestleMania the next day. But yeah, I met someone. It was, I don't even want to talk about it. It was
you
cool,
got catfished.
It was
you
cool.
got catfished in real life, yeah. It because you later no, texted
no, no, no.
her
it's not
and
that.
It was like
no I don't want to wait like I could make a whole episode out of that like I don't even want to talk about it.
Okay, one day.
It's just, I don't want to waste too much time, but like. Basically, I met her really cool, then like didn't pay her phone bill, and lost contact. But there's more. There's a lot more to that story. I don't know. She might be dead. I don't know. Okay. So, yeah. But yeah, you're so right. You're so right. Every single time, every single time without fail, there's always some type of problem.
At least you got to see Zack Ryder win a battle royal against Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, he did win. Oh my god, Wait, hold on real quick. You remember how I got banned from Brooklyn? I couldn't go to Brooklyn? Because of the outlaw event?
Yeah.
Pat said he was going to drive me back home, but then he got drunk and never drove me back home because he couldn't drive.
Yeah.
And then I was never allowed to go to Brooklyn again until I turned 18. Yeah, so many. You know, I never even thought about it until you said that right now, until you pointed it out. I never thought about my luck with coming back from wrestling shows. That's so crazy.
My worst luck coming back from a wrestling show is just, like, the train's taking a long time. Like, I don't have... You have, like, a gajillion stories about you getting stuck, terrible weather, some shit happening, you know, some Russian catfish coming up to you in the subway station and trying to
There's
kidnap
no Russian
you, all
catfish.
These things. It's just a lot of weird stories, Phil. I don't really trust your judgment on them.
Oh, my God. Even me trying to go to SummerSlam and then you having all my money...
That was not my fault. Whatever. Let's get this another time. We'll get into this another time.
And me not having any money and me just going to Kennedy Fried Chicken.
Yes.
And eating there while the Kennedy Fried across the street from me was getting robbed. Crazy.
Right. Okay.
But, yeah, Zack Ryder won a battle royal by eliminating Mark Henry and Michael McGillicuddy.
Ooh.
At the same time.
How did he do that? Oh, it was one of those deals where Michael McGillicuddy's about to eliminate Mark Henry. He comes from behind, does the big heave-ho, gets him out of there, right?
You know it.
Yeah.
Other participants included...
Oh, you don't have to read those. Too many.
WWE Tag Team Champion Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov, who are living his best life right now. You should see what he looks like. I don't know if you know what he looks like right now.
This is
He looks completely different. He's like a pimp.
So Vladimir Kozlov, the same Vladimir Kozlov who came up to you in the train station after the
D1 Supercard. No. Wrong Vladimir Kozlov.
Oh, a different one. Okay.
Yeah, it was a different one. Primo Colon, Alex Riley, Darren Young, Yoshitatsu, our boy.
Yeah.
William Regal, David Otunga, David Hart Smith, who we met.
That's true.
Stated the winner would challenge WWE US Champion Daniel Bryan later in the show. After the bout, Ryder cut an in-ring promo saying he would win Bryan's title.
It's a good promo. So,
awesome, yeah.
Nice promo. Already I'm going to win. Start. Nice, yeah. Go get it.
Yeah. Tyson Kidd pinned David Hart Smith with a roll-up after avoiding the running power slam.
Why were they feuding?
Nice.
Okay.
I don't know. Funny. Bri and Nikki Bella, yes. Defeated Marissa Molina, double yes. When Melina was pinned after Facebuster, Eve picked a guest timekeeper from the crowd before the bout. Why couldn't that be me?
Why wasn't
I was
you?
All the way? I was all the way up there though. I was all the way, like, I wasn't near the floor. But imagine.
I want to see 8-year-old Phil at a house show ringing the bell. Come on.
Oh my god.
Bullshit.
Oh my god. Oh, and Nuzio was the guest referee for the match. Cool.
Remind me who that is again.
I forgot. Who's Joey Marker?
No, I don't never heard of him.
All right, now WWE Tag Team Champions. Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov defeated Justin Gabriel and Husky Harris. Yes, Husky Harris.
Wow.
When Santino pinned Justin Gabriel with the Cobra prior to the bout, Michael Cole announced the Raw GM wanted the teams to have a dance contest first. With the challengers attacking the champions after the champions danced. This is the greatest show that's ever existed.
Oh, wait, I'm so kidding. Do you remember this happening when you were there? Because this is the weirdest thing. So it was Justin Gabriel and Bray Wyatt against Santino Marella and this girl from the train station. And Teddy Long comes out, or Michael Cole, whatever. Same thing. Comes out and says they want to have a dance contest, not after the match, but before the match even starts.
What more can you ask for? This is my ideal wrestling event. An event to be my first wrestling event to go to.
Yeah,
I mean, we got you know, guest referees and dance offs.
Yeah,
Melina.
Yeah,
who Melina was standing right in front of me, but I didn't say anything because I was like, oh, it's Melina, oh my god.
Yeah,
at Outlaw, she was there. I'm standing there like, wow, that's crazy. That's Melina. Like, that's Melina. And I didn't say anything there, right? I should have talked. I probably would have marked out the same way I marked out for Kurt Angle.
You didn't tell her that you were the guest timekeeper when you were 8 years old at her match?
Yeah, I should have lied.
Yeah.
But what if she's like, oh, that was a girl?
She remember that? Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. She calls me out.
Then I don't know what you do next, yeah.
It'd be very awkward. Then I'll just look like a liar to Melina. I don't want Melina to think I'm a liar.
Yeah, and you've never been a liar in your life.
Never. Okay. WWE World Champion. Mike Mizanin.
Mike Mizanin.
That's cool. WWE World Champion, The Miz. Pinned somebody with a skull-crushing finale after Alex Riley interfered.
Wait, who did he beat?
The Raw GM stated Riley would face someone in an LDQ match and The Miz would have to leave ringside or he would be suspended.
Hold on. Who did The Miz pin?
Someone.
Spell it out for me.
R-A-R-A-N-D-Y.
Phil, how does it feel knowing that Randy Orton lost on your first show you ever watched? He got destroyed. It says pinned clean by putting his balls in his face until he, for the three count. It says right here, I'm looking at it right now. It says then Randy Orton then shit himself and went into the crowd with tears coming down his face saying, somebody just please help me. I'm having an emergency. And then he helped him. And then you helped him. And then Nunzio was there. And then Randy Orton's crying. And I don't even know where I'm going with this bit. But Phil, you saw Randy Orton in the worst state he's ever been. How does it feel?
I gave him my shirt off my back, and he never forgot.
He never forgot.
Good bit. All right, whatever. Yeah. Okay, but it was The Miz though. Like, you know, you gotta love The Miz. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the time, I didn't like The Miz, of course.
Yeah.
But listen, WWE World Champion, The Miz pinned Randy Orton. That's crazy. But it's okay. It's like, this was like WrestleMania where my favorite Seth Rollins got pinned by Randy Orton at WrestleMania 31 off of that crazy RKO. I'll never forget seeing that. Just blew me away. But then in the same night, you know, he wins a match.
Yeah.
But not only does he win a match, he wins the world title. So all is good because Randy Orton ends up pinning Alex Riley in a no DQ match with the RKO after about 2 minutes. So it was all okay.
Damn.
It was all right.
It cancels itself out.
Yeah, exactly. WWE US Champion Daniel Bryan defeated Zack Ryder via submission with the LaBelle lock. At the 2 minute mark. So
2 minutes.
That's cool.
Wait, so you're telling me Zack Ryder went through an entire battle royal, eliminated Mark Henry and Curtis Axel at the same time, and just gets jobbed in 2 minutes?
And you know what? Karma comes back to haunt you because Daniel Bryan went through a whole elimination chamber to be beaten by Roman Reigns in 2 minutes.
True, you're right. So really, this house show at Madison Square Garden was just foreshadowing to an actual pay-per-view event. Or the pay-per-view that happened this year was really just a callback, just a very well-established callback for people like you who were there that night, who were timekeeping at that show. And it was just a callback to a house show at Madison Square Garden in December that 11,000 people didn't even show up to.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I was one. I trooped it through the snow.
You did.
To understand the callback. This is deep storytelling. You understand?
This is Gato's booking.
Yes, exactly. This is it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So good.
Wow, I can't believe you trudged through the snow that most people didn't even brave just to watch Randy Orton lose.
But he won.
Well, I mean, sort of. Does it count? Everybody's beaten Alex Riley.
No. Alex Riley beat Epico.
I really doubt that. What are the next two matches?
This is great. John Morrison pinned Sheamus, and I remember this. John Morrison pinned Sheamus in a street fight with a knee to the face as Sheamus was sitting in a chair in the ring.
That's the worst finish.
Amazing.
You remember this, you said?
Yeah, I do remember this because I love John Morrison.
Right.
Like, I remember when he came out on SmackDown with his abs bedazzled, and
what?
I was like, this guy is cool. And I love John Morrison ever since. Oh, and then I realized, oh wait, that's Johnny Nitro. Duh. Same like little like design on the pants. Yeah. Took me a minute to get it though. That John Morrison was Johnny Nitro. And then main event, John Cena pinned Wade Barrett in a steel cage match following an FU from the second turnbuckle. Yeah, I clearly second remember that. Turnbuckle. I remember that so much. I could close my eyes and see it right now. I was such a huge Cena mark, and at the same time, I loved the Nexus. So it was just real cool. It was just real cool.
Wait, so were you upset about the fact that, Wade Barrett got screwed over?
Nah. I like them both. Like, what's a good example for right now? Like, kind of like Edge versus Orton. Like, I like them both.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just cool to see them fight. Right. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like, I was just happy. And I love John Cena. And I love the Nexus. It was just great. It was perfect. It was a perfect main event. That was my first time seeing a steel cage too, and it was like, whoa. Wow, look at that.
Do you think it would hold up now if you watched this show? Was this like an objectively good show, or do you think this was just like clouds of nostalgia?
No, I think it was a great show, and I think what makes a really good show is when they have to like kind of like make a whole new show to make it like different, you know what I'm trying to say? Because there was a snowstorm, whatever, you know, words yeah. and stuff. But
words and stuff.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, because you like, see,
honestly, I don't really think there's ever really a wrestling show that I went to live that wasn't entertaining. Like it hits differently when you're literally there live.
It's true.
Like there's never really like a bad time. You know, I remember seeing Bo Dallas and Neville have a great match at a house show in 2015.
Really?
That just popped into my mind.
You know, you're right. It really does. It feels very different when you're there live. It can be the worst show you've ever seen, and you're still like, yeah but I was there, you know?
Yeah, Jack.
Like Blackcraft in WrestleMania weekend. I was there. I can say that I was there when John Morrison got pinned by, or pinned David Starr in 30 seconds with an advertised title match. So, Phil, we both got to see Sheamus absolutely squashed on our first shows, which I think is, you know, a formative experience for both of us as wrestling fans, and it's also something we're going to see this Sunday, because this Sunday is Fastlane, and this Sunday, the predictions game will change forever. The New Japan Cup Finals is also this Sunday. It's a big deal, Phil. Something is going to change. Next week, you will see potentially a new Mr. Predictions. We all know that's not true. We all know it's just still going to be me with, you know, a bigger gap, but Phil, it's been a day. It's been a year. We've been doing this for over a year. Last week was our anniversary show. Go check that out on all platforms. It was a whole ordeal. It was a great, wonderful show. But Phil, for this year, for the first episode of the second year of our existence, I guess I've been Jack Peterson. I guess I've been, I don't know, host of the year. I guess I've been Mr. Trivia. And I guess the open challenge that I issued last week for the trivia title is still open. All you have to do is send a promo in to fightgeistwrestling@gmail.com. And you will be a challenger for my title. That's all you have to do. You just have to call me out. I'm here. I'm waiting for you. I'm sitting here knowing that I can beat you, that I will destroy you like I did at the tournament. But regardless, I'm Mr. Predictions, still will be Mr. Predictions. I'm host of the year, Phil. And I'm joined every week by you, the man across the internet.
Yeah, you know me. Phil Prince Havoc. G-O-D. God.
G-O-D.
I plan on being Mr. Predictions after this Sunday. You could bet on that on DraftKings. Not really, but it would be pretty cool if you could. And if you could, of course, you'd bet on me. I mean, obviously. Why would you bet against me? I'm that guy. I'm that man. Jack's a rat bastard. But yeah, Jack. 2 years? 1 year?
2 years?
We've been doing this 5 years.
Yeah.
I forget,
20 years, but, Phil. Crazy.
Yeah. We're doing good. That's all I gotta say. Oh, yeah, and we're Fight Guys. No, wait. Yeah, because we're Fight Guys. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, say the thing.
The Alternative Wrestling Podcast.
Fight Guys.